Jacob's son of his love, Joseph. We have called the Fellowship Care Group Teaching and Training Program the Joseph Project. This lesson will make it clear why we have given it that name. You see, our God has a specific individual purpose for each one of us in His kingdom rule. To become ready for His use, however, we must be trained to follow Jesus Christ closely as our Lord, because all authority was given to Him after He rose from the dead. Our place of ruling in Father God's kingdom is under Jesus, and Jesus delegates to us what He chooses. Because just as we all have our own personality, so His purpose with each of us is different. And He is eagerly waiting for us to become willing to let Him mold us and prepare us for a particular use in His plan. But He will never force us. He is a gentle God. We will read that from Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And look, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." It was disobedience that made it impossible for Adam to continue in the authority his Creator and Father had given him. Taking our place in Jesus' kingdom rule again will require that we are obedient to Him. Questions to discuss. Do you want to serve Jesus and rule for Him, whatever He gives you to do? Are you willing to obey Him unconditionally? We have earlier seen that our sins separate us from God, that wounds of the heart, even if unknown to us, affect our ability to obey Him all the way. That is why Jesus has all authority and not we. But when we are born of the Spirit of God, our spirits have become already willing to obey, and therefore Jesus wants to use us. And as our hearts are better healed and better cleaned, we will be better able to serve Him. David wrote already in Psalm 51, "Create a clean heart in me, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not remove your Holy Spirit from me, but restore in me the joy of your salvation. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted." Yes, with a clean heart, we can serve our God better. But our hearts have difficulty cooperating with God. Therefore, let us pray that Father God may help us to truly want to be transformed to look like Him again. And let us give Him permission to do His work in our hearts. Then we can expect Him to go to work. Cleaning of our hearts will, however, always cause lots of pain as we are exposed to the wickedness of our own past. Sometimes, however, our heart is so resisting this cleaning process that our Father needs to lead us through deep suffering until we will cry out for help. Wounds of the heart cause us to be controllers of other people, proud and arrogant. And God just cannot use us that way. So we struggle until we ask God for help to be willing to be shaped. Paul writes about it in Romans 7, verse 15 through 25. I do not understand what I do, because what I want to do, I do not do, but I do what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that God's law is good. It is no longer I myself then who do it, but it is sin living within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? I thank God, Jesus Christ our Lord will do that. Yes, friends, this is how complex and wretched we are by our own nature, and we cannot change that ourselves. But our Father can, and He will do that work if we fervently ask Him to do so. But you must realize that we often do not know what we will be in for. If we give Him permission to change our heart, we may end up going through much pain and difficulty. That is why the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 5, verse 3 through 5, we glory in tribulations, because we know that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. James wrote this also in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 5. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall in various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Questions to discuss. Do you experience also that it is difficult to do what you want to do? Is that not reason enough to always remain humble before our God? Would you like God to use you to bring others close to Him? Are you then willing to let Father God clean your heart if He chooses to do so, whatever the cost, so that you can serve Him well? Well, this was a lengthy introduction But you will see that Joseph's story could be our own. Joseph was the son of Jacob's wife, Rachel. His father loved him for that, because Rachel was the one wife he had loved. Jacob's father-in-law had cheated Jacob by having him, unaware, marry Rachel's older sister Leah, whom Jacob did not love at all. And Leah had many children, but God had kept Rachel's womb closed for many years. When finally Joseph was born, Jacob had chosen him to be the heir of all he owned. And his brothers hated him for that, and they hated their father too for not loving their mother. Joseph had been trained by his father to take over the herding business. He got clothing to wear for a gentleman, while his brothers wore grubby clothes as they were shepherding their father's flocks in the fields. Joseph felt rejected by his brothers and did his best to become accepted, but it was a hopeless effort. He may have become angry in his heart toward his brothers and thus wounded his spirit. And that always leads to having a controlling spirit that closes off one's heart for other people. Then God gave Joseph two dreams about a plan God had for him. He was going to be a ruler with his brothers and father and mother bowing down before him. Here it is from Genesis 37, verse 3 through 9. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably toward him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field, and then look, my sheaf arose and also stood right up, and indeed your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for what he said. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers. And he said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed down to me." I think that all this made Joseph stand tall and proud, believing in his future, but God cannot use people as long as they are proud and controlling. See, it is not us who do things, but it is God doing things through us. And so with pride, we do not acknowledge that it is God who is doing it. There is no room for pride in our lives, only room for humility. And Jacob one day said to Joseph to check up on his brothers, who were with the sheep in the fields far away. And when his brothers saw him coming in the distance, they thought that their hate now finally could be satisfied. Genesis 37, verse 18 through 20 reads as follows. Now, when they saw him afar off, even before he came close by, they conspired to kill him. And then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come now, let's kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say that some kind of a wild beast has eaten him. Then we'll see what will come of his dreams." In the end, they sold Joseph as a slave to a caravan of merchants who were on their way to Egypt. And they lied to their father that they had found his torn robe stained with blood. They had dipped it in the blood of a lamb they had killed for that purpose. Yes, what will now come of Joseph's dreams? Nothing anymore he can do about them. And I wonder what this event must have done to his pride. And then things become even much worse for him yet. In Egypt, he even lands in prison on false charges and spends there a long time. Has he begun doubting all God's plans for him? But you know, when God has a plan with any one of us, it will happen if we seek him with all our hearts. Romans 8, verse 28 through 30, writes this in a beautiful way. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those he knew at first, those he also planned to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Also, whom he planned to use for his purposes, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also saved, justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Questions to discuss. Do you notice here again that God makes everything work for good to those who love him, but that it always is for his purposes? It will serve him and not us in the first place. Are you willing to serve him in that way? He is such a wonderful God. Let us read what Genesis 39 tells us. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all he had. He put under his authority. And so it was from the time that Potiphar had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house because of Joseph. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that Potiphar had in his house and in the field. Thus, Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread that he ate. And it happened after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie down with me." But Joseph refused and said to her, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in his house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her and lie down with her to be with her. But when Joseph went into the house to do his work one day, and none of the men was inside, she caught him by his coat and said, "Lie down with me." But he left his garment and fled, running outside. And then she called to the man of the house and said, "See, my husband has brought in to us this Hebrew to mock us. He came in to lie with me, and when I cried out with a loud voice, he left his garment with me and fled outside." When the master came home, she said to him, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to mock me, and when I raised my voice, he left his garment with me and fled outside." When Joseph's master heard this, he put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were kept. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put all the prisoners in Joseph's hands. The keeper did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever Joseph did, the Lord made it prosper. Questions for discussion. Is it not amazing that while Joseph could be bitter for being a slave, and then even being unjustly thrown into prison, yet he chooses to give his master the best efforts he can? When I was a young boy, I learned it so well from my parents. Whatever you do, always do it to please God. Whoever you have to do it for, the Apostle Peter actually writes that. Must we not also love our enemies? Does true love not mean that we give, even to an enemy, the best we can? Isn't that God's will for our lives? And do you notice that God is blessing Joseph because of his proper good attitude? In several places in God's Word, we read the following statement in differing words. I quote it here from Colossians 3, verse 23 through 25. And whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that you will receive from the Lord the reward of the inheritance, because you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. End of the lesson. Next time you meet, we will continue in part 2.